morning. Spiritual equilibrium. How many of you have ever had vertigo? It is a rotten, nasty, horrible thing that you have to deal with. 6 years ago, like I had just got through drinking a fifth of tequila. I didn't drink a fifth of tequila, but it was just like that happening. Everything was spinning. Everything was going crazy. I had to immediately hit the floor, and I began to crawl to the bathroom, and you know what I did there. I could not stand up. It was misery. Every time I would try to even get to my knees, everything would just start spinning. How many of you have been there before? Not the tequila part, but the vertigo part, okay? All right? I was so desperate to get my balance back that I was willing to try anything and everything. My sweet wife, well, by the way, who's in Mississippi right now, her uncle passed away. And so her and JT went down for the funeral, and they're on their way back. They'll be here tomorrow. But my sweet wife said to me, "Get up." Isn't that wonderful? Actually, she began to scour the internet and find methods and means to recover my equilibrium. Inside of your inner ear are little bitty hairs. And if a little bit of plaque or a little bit of any kind of substance gets attached to one of those little hairs, you're completely falling off of balance. And so we tried every single maneuver that they showed on there. Get on your knees and raise your head up quickly and do this and then drink water while you're sitting upside down. All kinds of different ways to reestablish my spiritual, or not my spiritual, but my physical equilibrium. I got to the point where I was just so miserable. I said, "Just leave me alone." And I just laid there flat on my face and just prayed to die. I was so out of balance physically. Now, praise God, it eventually passed. I'm not exactly sure which maneuver worked, but I know that eventually that little piece of plaque or little piece of whatever got moved off of that hair, and I got my equilibrium back. Sometimes we get in life and we lose our physical equilibrium, but even worse than that, sometimes, and maybe this is applicable to you today, is we lose our spiritual equilibrium. We get completely out of balance. We get all the way to one side where we feel maybe like God is not even in existence anymore. Maybe we get to the point where we feel like God doesn't even care anymore. We might get to the point where, why would God want anything to do with me anymore? And if you're not there, you know somebody who is there. And sometimes in life we get so out of balance spiritually that we just want to give up. Well, I want to help you this morning. I want to give you help from God's Word to establish your spiritual equilibrium. Now, there are going to be three parts to this message. Three parts. And all three of them are going to be here today. No, I'm just teasing. We're going to go through part one today. But spiritual equilibrium. So turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Reestablishing or receiving spiritual equilibrium. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he," Jesus, "answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple, and says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you shall dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee up, or get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word. I ask you this morning, God, that you would fill my mind and my mouth, that as I give your word, that you would do the work that needs to be done. Because, Father, I cannot do it. It has to be you. I'm asking you would encourage us this morning, give us strength, help us to rely upon you and depend upon you, because you are all we have. Lord, I don't know every life that's here this morning. I don't know every life that may be listening this morning and what they're dealing with, but you do. I'm asking you, God, that you would encourage. I'm asking you, God, that you would convict. I'm asking you, God, that you would explore our souls and reveal to us how we may regain our spiritual equilibrium, because you are the only hope we have. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been tempted to sin before? Some of you are sinning right now. You're lying, okay? We've all been tempted to sin. Temptation is there every single day. Matter of fact, some of you deal with temptation every hour. You deal with temptation every moment of the day, it seems like. May I tell you, being tempted is not the problem. Satan tempted Jesus right here. And we're going to read about that. Jesus was tempted to sin. He was tempted to give up. That's not the problem. The problem is when we give in to that temptation. Now, I'm going to be very clear and succinct in this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to fall for the temptations. When they come, you don't have to say, well, I'll just give in to this. I don't have to say, well, I'll be forgiven anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. I'm just going to realize and understand that my flesh is weak, and I'm just going to give in to the temptation to do whatever. When you know Jesus Christ your Savior, you don't have to do that. Because Jesus Christ is the one that has delivered you from those things, and we're going to learn about that in a few moments. But let me be very blunt with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, you can't help but fall for those temptations. You have nobody on your side to give you the strength to resist those temptations. You wonder why you're always falling. You wonder why you're always failing. You wonder why it seems that every time a temptation to come to sin falls in front of you and you take it, it may be either you've lost your spiritual equilibrium or you don't even have Jesus as your Savior. See, we all have to examine our lives. David, in the book of Psalms, several of the Psalms, David cries out to God, Oh God, help me! Oh God, give me the strength to deal with this! Oh God, David fail like we do. He failed at this and he failed at that. He was a bad father at times. He was a horrible husband at times. He was a horrible general at times by his sin. But he always came back to God and said, Oh God, please forgive me. I need to be right with you. This morning, how is your spiritual equilibrium? Are you balanced? Are you right where you ought to be with the Lord? Oh, but are some issues in your life that maybe aren't there? There's times in my life that I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep because things aren't exactly the way they should be. Satan likes to bring up things to my life and say, hey, listen, this needs to be taken care of, and that needs to be taken care of. And he always, and I'm a type of person that I like to get everything solved in order to sleep well. How many of you are just like that? You need everything solved so you can sleep. But you know what? It's not always easy to get everything solved. It's not always easy to get equilibrium. But I want us to look at establishing and getting that spiritual equilibrium. So we see that Jesus is tempted. We see that Jesus is dealing with some things. But there's things that we need to realize before we look at this. Look at the second slide here, Brother Terry. We have an enemy who wants us to be off balance at all times. We have an enemy who wants us to be off balance at all times. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me this morning.
We have an enemy that wants us to be off balance. He never wants us to have equilibrium. He never wants us to be in harmony with the Lord. He never wants us to be happy. He never wants us to be able to be successful in life. We have an enemy. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, Paul is telling the Ephesians, hey, listen, I'm going to sum up what I've been teaching you in this letter. He says, finally, my brethren, speaking to fellow believers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your strength must come from the Lord. Your strength cannot come from a bottle. Your strength cannot come from a pill bottle. Your strength cannot come from a relationship. Your strength cannot come from a job or a hobby or a habit. Your strength can't come from me. Your strength cannot come from your spouse. Your strength must come from the Lord. That's where your strength has got to come from. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And by the way, I want to help you to understand that no matter what that fella in Texas who has the thousands of people attending his church, your strength can't come from you. Your strength will not come from your efforts. It's not in you. It's not you. It's got to be Jesus Christ. And in the power of His might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is slick. He's been doing this for thousands of years. But let me help you understand something. He is not omniscient. The devil doesn't know everything. He's not all powerful. He doesn't know everything that you're thinking. He knows the ways of man because he's been studying us for thousands of years. But he does not know everything. And he is not everywhere. But he is slick and he's a fooler. He likes to try to trick people. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Instead, we're against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your enemy is not a human being. Your enemy is not a political affiliation. Your enemy is not based upon somebody's skin color. Your enemy is not anything but Satan and Satan himself. But let me understand something. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan's not your enemy. God is your enemy. You are at enmity with God because you've got to face God on your own. See, if you die today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to face God in your own efforts. And you're God's enemy. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan becomes your enemy and God becomes your Father. How many of you are familiar with the road going up Kirtland's Creek? And I can't remember the fellow's name, but the Marine. How many of you know the Marine on there going up that road? Oh, I love going by his, all the American flags and everything else. He's got a sign up there, and as you pass it by, it says, no greater friend, no worse enemy. And what's he talking about? Talking about the Air Force is what he's talking about. I'm just teasing. He's talking about the Marines. No greater friend, but no worse enemy. May I tell you, we have no greater friend but God Almighty. But we have an enemy, and that's Satan. And he's very slick, but he doesn't know everything, and he's not all powerful. And he is not the one that knows and does everything that we think and give him credit for. So we have a spiritual enemy, Ephesians chapter number 6. But it also says this, contrary to that, we have a Savior who came to deliver us from the ravages of temptation and sin. We have somebody who has come to deliver us from those things. We're not alone. You don't have to deal with temptation on your own. You don't have to deal with the issues of sin on your own. I tried it for 21 years, and may I tell you, I failed miserably every single time. And if you were honest this morning, most of you could raise your hands this morning and say, yes, Brother Brian, I did too. I tried to deal with it in my own strength and in my own ability, and I failed and I failed and I failed. May I tell you that even though I've gotten saved, I still try to do it myself. I still try to deal with it myself. And may I tell you, I fail doing that. But go to Philippians chapter 2 with me real quick. Philippians chapter 2. This is all introduction, all free this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. Speaking of Jesus. Now, if you don't have your Bibles with you, there's a Bible in the pew right in front of you, and I encourage you to turn and look with me at these passages. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Instead, let it be done in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's the key right here, verse 6. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Instead, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who is God, did not find himself and saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go down to earth and be God and blast everybody. He said, no, I'm going to allow myself to be made in the image of man so that they can relate to me. And he did that willingly so that we would understand and realize that he really loved us. And so that he could die in our place for our sins. Now, he was still God, but he allowed himself to not use his powers as God. He humbled himself so that we may be like him one day. Not as far as God's, but we may be in his likeness. That's what he did for us. Now, here's the thing. He allowed himself to become in the form of a man so that we could relate to what we're going through. How many have ever had a problem in life and you thought nobody understood and you felt like you couldn't talk to anybody, but then you met somebody who'd been through it and it really helped you? It really helped you through the situation you were going through. It was good to know that somebody else was dealing with that same issue. May I tell you, Jesus was tempted just like we are. Matter of fact, let me show you. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Jesus was tempted. And we just saw part of it there, but we're going to go back to it in a minute. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, talks about that temptation of Jesus. Why did Jesus allow himself to be tempted? To say, now open your Bibles up and look with me, please. Don't just sit there like you're looking at a wall. Look at God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, look what it says here in verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. And it identifies that great high priest. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, let us hold fast unto our profession of faith. Why? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted just like we are on a daily basis. He dealt with all the temptations that we deal with, yet he was without sin. Jesus was sinless. Now here's the problem. Let me give you an example of this. When I was down in Fort Walton Beach, I was a youth pastor down there. I'd like to go knocking on doors and meeting people and everything else. And I went to this guy's door one day, and I knocked on the door, and I began to talk to him a little bit. And I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ, your Savior?" He says, "Oh, yeah. I met him one day while I was taking a shower." I was kind of taken back by that a little bit. And I said, "Okay, well, who is he to you?" He says, "Well, he was just a common man that was a sinner just like me." And I said, "No, no. Because if Jesus was just a common man and was a sinner just like you and I, how in the world could he save me? That would be just like you depending upon me to save you. Coming to me and say, 'Brother Brian, I need you to save my soul.' I can't save your soul. I can't save my soul. I can't save nothing. Only one can save you. That's Jesus Christ." See, he was tempted like as we are, but without sin. It's good to know we have a source to go through and go to who knows what we're dealing with, but yet still loves us. I pray all the time, "God, thank you that you know me, yet you still love me." How many of you understand that? You know me, God, yet you still love me. We had to have somebody to take our place. We had to have somebody to take our place and to die in our place. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so it says here in Hebrews chapter 14, we have this high priest. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows what you're dealing with. Verse number 16. "So because of that, let us come boldly into the throne of God." Let us be able to come before God and say, "Oh God, help me, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help of in the time of need." God, I need your help. I need your help with this temptation. I need your help with this issue. Oh God, please help me. And what does God from heaven say? "You're on your own. You deal with it. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm going to go and take a nap. I'm going to deal with the issues in Bangladesh today. You in America, no, you're on your own this morning. No, you know what? I'm going to deal with the issues in Africa. So you there in Bryson City, Swain County, guess what? You deal with it yourself." No. Jesus Christ has already dealt with it. So we can go to God because Jesus has dealt with it. Praise the Lord for that. But Satan, he would try to tell you, "Listen, Jesus don't care about you. Matter of fact, Jesus isn't even real. He's just a figment of your imagination. He's just something made up so that you'll be in line like a bunch of lemmings. And you'll just follow in line and you'll get yourself, and all just you'll be a nice robot." That's all Jesus is. He's just a crutch. Jesus really doesn't exist. And that's what Satan will lie to you about. Or Satan will do this: "I don't exist. There's no such thing as Satan. There's no such thing as hell. You could just forget about those things. That's just made up to scare you." See, Satan, he's slick. And if there's no hell and there's no Satan, then guess what? There's really no God, and there's really no Jesus, and there's really no reason to do what we do here on Sunday morning. You might just sleep in. But guess what? There is a Satan, and he hates you. He's your enemy, and there's a God who loves you. And why did Jesus do this? So that we can come boldly before the throne of God. We can find mercy and find grace and the help in the time of need. Now, I've said all that to say this: finding spiritual equilibrium starts with the Savior. And you find the Savior and you trust the Savior, he's the one that deals with finding spiritual equilibrium, okay? So let's go to the very first part. That was all introduction, just to kind of establish the groundwork. Let's look at the very first point, and we're going to stop with this very first point. Next slide, Brother Terry, please. The temptation of physical needs and desires. The temptation of physical needs and desires. Matthew chapter 4, Verse number 1, it says this, "Then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil," not to sin, but to be tempted of the devil. We see the devil very real and tempting. "And when he," Jesus, "had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." He was hungry. "And when the tempter," who is Satan, "came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" You hungry? You got a physical need that you need? Jesus, you're God. If you're really the Son of God, Jesus, go ahead and command that these rocks laying around here, let them be made bread so that you can feed yourself. Isn't that what Satan did to Eve in the garden? He came to her and said, "Listen, did God really say not to eat of that fruit? Did he really say that?" See, Satan is slick. "You're lonely," Satan says. "Nobody seems to understand you. Nobody seems to care about you. So it's okay if you get yourself into this situation. It's okay if you allow yourself to get a relationship with someone of the same sex or someone that you're not married to. It's okay. Not a big deal. You're lonely and you have needs. So go ahead and do it." Or, hey, you know what? You've got that need of a physical help. That drug or that alcohol or whatever it is. Go ahead and partake of that because you need it. It's okay. There's not going to be any effects from it. That's what Satan whispers to us. You know why he whispers to us? Because he knows what's going to happen when we give in to it. I don't know if I need now. Gentlemen, when you are lonely, Satan will bring a beautiful young lady into your life to try to get you to fail and ruin your marriage. Because he knows if he can get you to ruin and make that step, no matter how ugly you are, Satan will still bring that temptation to you. Ladies, if your husband doesn't have to be paying attention to you like he should, doesn't have to be treating you the way that he should, and you're starting to say, "Well, you know what? I don't even know why I married that fool." Satan will bring that temptation to you and say, "You know what? This guy's handsome and he likes you and he'll listen to you. Why don't you go ahead and get involved in him?" Am I lying this morning? Young person, your parents don't understand you. Your parents don't have any clue about what you're going through. Tell you what, your parents are so old and so fuddy-duddied, guess what? They don't know what you're dealing with. So go ahead and involve yourself in whatever it is. Am I lying? See, Satan tells us that we have a right. That we have a right to have physical pleasure without consequences. There's some things that are running rampant in our schools nowadays. And Satan is saying to moms and dads and daughters and sons, guess what? It's okay. If it feels good, do it. How many of you recognize that problem's out there? Only a few of us. That's okay. It's there. What do you do about it? How do you deal with it? Oh, I just give in. No big deal. I'll just get forgiveness. No. You know what you do? You realize that Jesus was tempted just like you are, but he didn't give in. He's our example. Matter of fact, let me show you some of the temptations real quick that are thrown at us. Go to Galatians chapter 5. And then I'm going to come back and show you how to deal with it. Galatians chapter 5. I want to show you just a few of the temptations. These are not all of them. This is not an extensive list. But Galatians chapter 5 lists some of the temptations that we're faced with physically. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Here's a list of some of these problems. Now look up with me. Turn your Bibles. Pay attention to what God's saying here. I'm begging you. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, it says this. Now the works of the flesh, these are the temptations that we have in our flesh. They're manifest, and they're these. Adultery. That's having relations with someone you're not married to. Fornication. That's having relations not married with somebody of the same sex or opposite sex that you're not married to. Uncleanness. That's wickedness. Filthy acts. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. He says, listen, there's just a simple list of the temptations that come to us. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand, that's going to happen. Two of mine go to the high school over here. And I know that they're tempted with these things. I'm tempted with these things. You say, wait a minute, you're the pastor. Listen, I'm a man. And I'm tempted with things. Ladies, you're tempted with things. It doesn't mean you have to fall for them. It doesn't mean you have to give in to them. It doesn't mean that you have to say, well, I can't help it. No, the temptations are there. But recognize, they're not from God. They're from Satan. The temptation's not the problem. It's the giving in to them that's the problem. And honestly, this morning, if I was to ask you to raise your hand or stand up and testify that you have fallen for these temptations, every single one of us will lift our hands up and say, I have fallen for these temptations, whether it's gossiping or hatred or whatever it is, drunkenness, whatever it is. See, that's a physical need that can only be fulfilled by a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But understand this. Jesus has been through the temptation already. So what do? Cry out to Jesus. Well, Brother Brian, that's pie in the sky fantasy. I've tried crying out to Jesus, and I was still tempted, and I still fell. So what do? You know what you do? You rely upon the Word of God. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Let me show you real quick. Matthew chapter 4. That's just a small list of the temptations that come to us. But here's how to deal with it. You know why I know this is how we deal with it? Because this is how Jesus dealt with the temptation. Look what it says. Verse number 4. But he, Jesus, answered and said this. It is written. It is written. What does that mean? God's Word says. When that temptation comes today, when that temptation comes tomorrow, whatever it is, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, you don't have to fall for it. You simply say, it is written, I don't have to do that. It doesn't say, it is written, so I'm above all those things. And I, no, because you're going to be tempted. You simply say, this is what God's Word says. And you know the most important thing it says about that in here? Is that Jesus has been tempted, He overcame it, and I can overcome it because I'm in Jesus. That's the important issue. You don't have to fail. I don't have to fail. If you know Jesus, you have the ability to overcome the temptation by the blood of the Lamb. How did Jesus deal with it? Lightning bolts? Incantations? Karate moves? How did Jesus deal with the temptation? It is written. Brothers and sisters, we know we have an enemy. We know he wants to destroy us. So how do we deal with it? Trust the Lord as your Savior, first and foremost. Number two, do it the way Jesus did it. Do it the way Jesus did it. So what is it? It is written. Jesus doesn't just say that. Here's what he says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, listen, the physical provisions is not what gives you life. It's the word of God that gives you life. Now we're going to stop. That's the first point. We're going to stop there. You've already given us too much, Brother Brian. But here's the points. We have a Savior. You're going to be tempted. The sin is not the temptation. You don't have to fall for the temptation because you have someone who's already been through it. Trust Him. Do it His way. He's already dealt with it. Let Him deal with it for you. So when it comes, Brian, what do? God, help me. God, give me a word from your word to help me. How many of you understand if you have a problem with drunkenness that you don't go to an ABC store or a bar? How many of you understand that? If you have a problem with drug use, you don't go and hang around people who have a problem with drug use. If you have a problem with promiscuity or adultery or whatever, you don't put yourself in those positions. You have a problem with overeating. You don't go to a buffet. Amen. You have a problem with gossip. Don't hang around with people who gossip. Okay? Who is it that gives us that understanding? God. And who gives us the strength to not do it? The Holy Spirit living inside of us. It is written. That's where the strength comes from. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Miss Shirley, if you'll come and play something for us. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute. Brothers and sisters, the problem is not the temptation. The problem is giving in. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to ask God to help you to deal with the physical temptations that come. We've already established in God's Word that we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. He wants to mess up your mind. Right now, he's the one that's distracting you. He's the one that's already speaking to your mind and your head about things that have got nothing to do with this. In just a moment, I'm going to give you just a few moments to just talk to God. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, and I'm not trying to make you make any kind of commitment to me. I want you to seriously say, God, I know I'm tempted in these areas. Please help me rely upon your word, upon you, to deal with these temptations. So let's just take a few moments now while Miss Shirley plays just to talk to God. Ask Him to help you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we know and understand that temptation is everywhere. And we realize and understand, Father, as long as we're human beings, we're going to have to deal with it. But Lord, thank you that you gave us an advocate. You gave us somebody to give us the strength and the courage to not fall for these temptations. Lord, help us to rely upon you through your Son, Jesus Christ, to not fall for these temptations. But God, I also realize and understand that when we do fall, we have an advocate that can make us right with you through his blood. So, Father, help us not to get in the habit of going ahead and falling so we can get forgiveness. Help us, Father, to rely upon the strength not to do it in the first place. Thank you for what you've done for us and what you're going to do. Bless these folks, God. I pray that they would forget anything that I said, but they would not forget what you have said through your word. You're the only hope we have, and we're trusting in you in Christ's name. Amen.